Today, we're sticking around for another hour to bring you a special live panel discussion on risk management. Often cited, but not that widely understood, risk management is a way for agency leaders to set priorities and better prepare for the unexpected. Like it or not, every activity carries risk, so it's better to understand and rank the risks than to ignore them.
And our guests today include Danny Werfel, the director of the public sector practice at the Boston Consulting Group. He's the former acting commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service. Barry Davis is Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the Government Accountability Office, and Todd Grams is a director at Deloitte and former Chief of Staff at the IRS, also former Chief Financial Officer and Chief Performance Officer at the Veterans Affairs Department. Welcome to you all.
And it's great to have you in studio, and I'm going to throw out the first question here, which is starting at the beginning and maybe getting a good definition of what risk management actually is. Todd Grams, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, sure. Be glad to, Tom. Probably the easiest way to think about risk management is it's really a two-sided coin. On the one side is I think what people may more commonly think about risk management, which is preventing bad things from happening. It's knowing what risks are out there and deciding risk by risk whether or not the risk is small enough to accept and live with, or whether it's large enough that it could actually have a significant negative impact on ability to achieve mission or objectives. And if it meets that criteria, then you have to think about the resources you need, the planning to mitigate that risk. The other side of the coin is actually taking risks to improve performance or help drive more success towards your mission or objectives. I just simply put it as organizations create value by taking risk, and they lose value by failure to manage them.
All right. And Barry Davis from the GAO, you look at risk across government. And so what are the classes of risks that we see most often?
Well, there are certainly many different types of risk activities across government. Project management, for example, is one. Many people are cognizant of the issues that came about when the Affordable Health Care Act was rolled out. There's risk management related to natural disasters, which the government has to be involved in. Risk management related to information technology across government. So there are really a number of different areas across government that are affected by risk management.
And Danny Werfel, maybe you've had the most risky management to deal with of all. So give us your thoughts on where we get started here.
Well, I wanted to build on Todd's very good definition. One of the ways that I think about risk management is a discipline. I think about it as a framework or a program that an entity, and since we're talking about public sector right now, that's using as an example federal agencies, are they setting up a system or a program to inventory their risks and study them and understand them and make sure that they have a consistent flow of information on those risks? And any such framework is going to be imperfect. But the benefit of having a framework is you can build on it in an iterative way and make it better and better as you learn. So you might have something emerge in your organization that was a risk that wasn't being captured by your inventory, and now you have an inventory to go back and update, and you have a group of leaders that are constantly trying to understand where the risks are in the organization and taking steps earlier rather than later to mitigate them so that the problems never evolve into something more serious.
But going to that other side of the coin that Todd defines, Danny, I want to ask you this first, and the others of you probably have your own thoughts about it. But should the government be risk averse, or is it okay to take risks at times?
I think you absolutely have to take risks. They have to be very carefully calculated risks, and they have to have benefits. And you want to take risks that are going to help you drive innovation. So, for example, you know, when the Recovery Act was passed, they created the Congress created this thing called the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board to oversee the Recovery Act dollars and make sure that they were spent correctly. And I can recall the Recovery Board bringing in some very innovative, new, cutting-edge technologies to look at how federal dollars were being spent. We had never applied these technologies in this setting before. And so, you know, was it a risk per se? It was new, and it was courageous to bring those types of new technologies in. And the benefit was innovation. And now those technologies and, the, and you know some of those fraud detection capabilities are now spreading throughout the federal government. So I think it depends on how you think about it, but you always want to be very wary of risk, in particular in a public sector setting where taxpayer dollars are so important and citizens' trust in government is your bottom line. At the same time, you have to be able to drive towards innovation and modernization. And sometimes to do that, you have to step out of your comfort zone and create new approaches and new solutions, and that can be risky in certain contexts.
Add to what Danny said, if I may, I do think the federal government tends to be risk-averse, and I think it's for a variety of reasons. One, there's not a big upside a lot of times to taking risk in the federal government, either for the organization or for the individual. The climate in Washington at given times can create a better safe than sorry approach for federal employees. And I do think another dynamic there is that agencies tend to be risk-averse because risk management is a new thing, and a lot of them don't have the fundamental tools to manage risk. So if you can't see it and you don't know it, you tend to be more conservative. But if you have the framework that Danny's talking about and you can understand your risks and you can weigh whether to mitigate or to exploit an opportunity, I think that could help the federal government become less risk averse. If it got more into risk management.
So the more you understand it, the more you can mitigate it, and then you can take the risks.
Correct.
Plus there's safety in numbers. And if you have a program where you have a bunch of people circling around to try to understand what level of risk is acceptable and how to mitigate them, I agree completely with Todd. It enables you to have some freedom to innovate because you know there's a program and a network in place that's going to protect against risks.
And I believe it's important to recognize that sometimes risks are beyond the control of the government organization. A good example of that might be terrorism risks. Another example might be the risks that have to do with social insurance related to Medicare and Medicaid costs in the future. How can we predict what those costs might be?
And Barry, I want you to expand on that because you're at GAO, the keeper of this high risk list, which must strike fear in the hearts of every agency leader when they look and they see some program that they're responsible for on this list because they know they are going to be called into Congress and questioned on every aspect of it. So how much risk is it okay to take?
Oh, boy, that's a good question, and I don't know if there's a good answer for it. Let me go back and tell you a little bit about the criteria that GAO uses in developing its high-risk list, and I think this might be helpful. First of all, if a program is of national significance, it's a key to performance accountability. If it involves public health, national security, citizens' rights, there's a high exposure in monetary terms. If corrective actions are planned or in place, those are some of the things that might affect the criteria.
All right. And so I guess the next question is, when you look at risk management, do you develop a plan? Do the plans exist in writing? Is it something that you said, Danny, that you look at the risk and have an inventory of risk? What about the mitigation plans? How does that all work?
From my background coming from financial management and internal controls, documentation is critical. Everyone needs to understand what page everyone's on so they're on the same page. So yeah, absolutely. What I would, in setting up a robust risk management framework, you want to document the approach, the methodology. How are you going to inventory your risks? What are the various categories? Some of them are global to the whole organization. Some of them are specific to a program, and some of them can be specific to an activity within a program. As long as you have a reasonable architecture to how you're thinking about risk and it's understandable to the community of people that are helping you manage the risk, it could be extremely successful. So there's a lot of elbow grease that goes into a good risk management program. It's not something that you're passive about. You're proactive, and I think that's the key. Proactive in figuring out how to architect your inventory, how to collect the appropriate information about your inventory of risks, what is the right indicators. Often you want leading indicators. You want to know sooner rather than later of an emerging problem. What are the types of problems you could have? You could have an emerging backlog is an example of a risk that you want to make sure that you're monitoring so that leadership is aware and they can help mitigate the risk.
And Todd, you worked at IRS and you worked at VA, two agencies, I guess, in the news lately. But if you look across the government now from your perch from a consulting firm, do you think that risk management capability is even across government, or do some agencies have a lot to learn?
I would say that it is not even across government. I think when you look overall, Tom, the relative state of risk management in the federal government, it's relatively immature. It's a relatively new concept to the feds, not like IT or financial management, which have both been around for decades. I think the good news is the trajectory is heading in the right direction. You've got agencies like student loan or defense logistics that have had risk management for almost a decade. Then you have organizations like VA, IRS, Bureau of Financial Services, TSA, that have gotten on board the risk management train in the last couple years. And then you have organizations like Treasury and CMS that have recently advertised to hire chief risk officers. So it's heading in the right direction, and I actually think it's a good thing that it's picking up steam.
And just a quick question on that before we go to a commercial break. Was there one moment in time where everybody said, this is why we need to manage risk? Was there something recently that was served as a wake-up call? Or Danny, do you want to take that?
Well, for me, I mean, I think it's personal for everybody. For me, the wake-up call was the GSA Las Vegas crisis, because people that I knew at the GSA, leaders, you know, were resigned, and there was a lot of angst and stress at that organization, which is such a critical organization. And there was a sense at the time I was at OMB that we needed to prevent this type of thing from happening again, because it's such a critically important agency. It was going through an extraordinarily difficult time. There was loss of productivity until Dan Tangerlini could get there and restabilize and put them on the right path. For me, that was a real kind of sense of purpose that we want to prevent this type of stuff from happening again. And if it does happen, we want to have plans ready to quickly move and get the agency on the right path.
Our guests today are Danny Werfel, Director of Public Sector Practice at the Boston Consulting Group and former Acting Commissioner of the IRS. Todd Grams is a Director at Deloitte and former Chief of Staff at the IRS and former Chief Financial Officer and Chief Performance Officer for Veterans Affairs. Barry Davis is Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the GAO. You're listening to a special Federal News Radio discussion on risk management. We're going to take a short break, and you're listening to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp. FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
It's 9:23. You're listening to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp on FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM. We've got a special panel today. Our topic is risk management and how federal agency managers can get their arms around that concept. Our guests are Danny Werfel, the Director of Public Sector Practice at Boston Consulting Group and the former Acting Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, Todd Grams, a Director at Deloitte and former Chief of Staff at the IRS, former Chief Financial Officer and former Chief Performance Officer at the Veterans Affairs Department, and Barry Davis, Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the Government Accountability Office.
And one of the unique characteristics of the public sector, especially at the federal level, is how much oversight there is from Congress, from the federal executive branch oversight bodies, and TV and radio, you name it. Everywhere you look, there's somebody looking at federal government and having power in some cases. So, Danny, does that make risk management more difficult, or does it enhance it?
I think it can dramatically enhance it. I think the public sector might be somewhat unique in terms of there being a lot of different sources of information to inform on your risk profile, whether it's the inspector general, whether they're issuing reports or looking into things. Obviously, the Government Accountability Office has not only their high risk list, which comes out every other year, but other activities that that they very closely get intimate with an organization's management challenges, and you'll learn a lot from that. Congressional inquiries and oversight can point out risks. And this, ultimately, if you're dedicated to really understanding and have transparency into all the various risks that might exist within the organization, all those data points can be extremely useful.
Todd?
Yeah, I think I totally agree with Danny, and I IG, GAO, congressional oversight is good. It brings greater transparency, and that's something that's essential to our democratic form of government. I would add that I do think that is part of the mixture, even though it's good. It's not black and white. I think that oversight, if it tends to be heavy at times, can be a contributor to why agencies are risk adverse. That can be a good thing. That can be a bad thing. And I would also say that, you know, by the time the IG finds something, frequently it's already an issue. It's no longer a risk. It's already eating your lunch. So I think one of the things that you strive for in a good risk management program is to head those risks off so they don't become issues, so the inspector general has less work to do.
And Barry, do agencies say good when you show up to take a look at things?
Sometimes they do, actually. But I might add that I think the guidance out there for the public sector is important in helping the whole concept of risk management and its effectiveness. I'll give two examples. One is OMB Circular A-123, which requires agencies to identify significant risk areas, then look at their key controls, test those controls, develop corrective action plans, and then monitor implementation of their internal controls. Another area, of course, is GAO's Green Book. We call it the Green Book. It's actually the standards for internal control in the federal government, very similar to the private sector COSO model. Another area where the intent is to improve accountability and better achieve agency missions and programs. So I'll see that the guidance out there is good, and it's important because compatibility between agencies is necessary, really, to mitigate some of the inability to compare agencies, and thus the flip side is to, of course, make national risk management more reliable.
Barry, I have to ask, though, when you go to those agencies, then the reaction isn't, oh, good, what do you do as the auditor?
I appreciate that question because we do really have a very good rapport with the agencies that we work with. I think that a part of this is our methodology and our fairness in how we work with different agencies, and the independence factor due to our relationship with Congress. So it really is not a situation where we are turned away at the door. I think people appreciate the value and the benefits of having an oversight function, whether that oversight function is GAO or whether it's an IG.
So no desk downstairs in the basement next to the boiler for the GAO people, huh?
Right, correct.
So I'd like to add to that. I think people would actually be surprised. I spent 15 years at OMB, and I had the fortunate privilege for many of those years sitting on the Council of Inspector Generals for Integrity and Efficiency, and did a lot of work with IGs and agencies. And 99 times out of 100, it's a very, very productive environment where the IG is helping the agency identify problems and the agency is making a whole series of corrective actions, and we're leading to better government and more integrity in government operations. I mean, what we hear about sometimes is the bigger issues where there's been some kind of disconnect, where there's either a disagreement between the agency and the inspector general, or the agency has failed to meet the inspector general's or GAO's requirements for improvement. Or, the agency is very surprised by the inspector general finding, as Todd had mentioned. But I think it's important to point out that, and this is something that I think Americans and the country should be proud of with respect to our government, that we have this system, that we have the GAOs of the world, and we have the inspector generals, and we have these checks and balances in our federal agencies, like rooting out problems, identifying areas where program integrity or operational inefficiency is occurring, putting out public reports on it, and holding agencies accountable to make those improvements. It's a remarkably important part of what makes government work. And Todd's right, the better we get at risk management, the less we'll need all of these types of work going on, but I think they can really work together in concert in terms of making government better.
And Todd, so if someone is a program manager or they have some responsibility in government, where do you look for clues that might say to you, this is what the IG is probably going to look at, or where Congress might tell GAO to look? Can you develop some kind of sensitivities to where the problems might be still while dealing with the day-to-day of being a program manager?
Absolutely, Tom. I think that's a critical part. Danny mentioned earlier about the risk management framework. Part of that framework in a mature risk management program are what we call risk analytics or risk sensing. And, I've heard it many times over my decades of federal service where people at an agency will say, we have a ton of data, but little information. So the data is out there. It's putting the tools in place so that you can actually see trends. You can actually pick up on leading risk indicators that could be affecting your performance in your program, and then being able to, as I said earlier, either accept the risk if it's relatively insignificant or attempt to mitigate the risk if it's actually going to cause harm to the program or project.
And Danny, I want to return to you. Before the break, you mentioned that the Las Vegas conference spending scandal at GSA had been a wake-up call for many federal employees, including those that you worked with at the White House. Now, that was a scandal that was revealed by the Inspector General. You also were called to head the IRS after a scandal in one of its divisions. So how do you put this good spin on risk management that you're saying now, how do you make that real to the people who might be in Cincinnati or in San Francisco or someplace very far away from Washington?
Well, as I said, I think it's important to understand that, you know, what did I say, 99 times out of 100, the process is working effectively, and people are walking away from the situation with a positive feeling that there's a lot of imperfections in government, and there's a check and balance system set up to point out those imperfections and move collaboratively towards a solution. But you have these situations emerge, like GSA, like IRS, where the situation is extremely challenging, and there's a lot of fundamental problems going on that need to be addressed. And some of the accountability that comes out of that, whether it's individuals resigning or other types of activities, can create a lot of stress on the organization. And that is challenging. And that's why, for me, the GSA process was a wake-up call. It inspired me, for example, to want agencies to embed more risk management into their practices so they were aware of these different types of issues that can do so much damage to citizens' trust in government. I mean, for me, we worked so hard at OMB and in the agencies and the CFO Council for so many years to improve financial reporting, to improve transparency, internal controls, program integrity, drive down improper payments, improve operational efficiency, all towards one goal, to build citizens' trust in government. And then you have this moment with GSA, and, you know, it can take the wind out of your sails because so much good had been going on, but this was the focus and there was a lot of attention around government waste. But again, I'm the eternal optimist, and I take it that in the long run, this is a positive development because it enables federal agencies across government to better understand more about government waste and how to take steps to address it.
But let me ask you this. If you think about these recent scandals, they all revealed that government itself is this far-flung network where the head might not know what the foot is doing. And so how do you overcome that diffuse sense of what a network for an agency is, like Veterans Affairs right now? How do you overcome that and manage risk throughout the whole thing? I bet you have some thoughts on that, Todd.
Well, I think, you know, whether it's VA or another nationwide footprint federal agency, you have to have a culture where people have the psychological safety to feel like they can and know that they can speak up if they see something wrong, and they will be listened to, and that will be acceptable. You also have to have the systems and processes and policy, the machinery in place, if you will, so that as risks are developing, people will identify them. And I just want to add to that question and then what you were talking to Danny about with what happened at GSA. I think as a government, we need to be careful about the risk in the fix. For example, after the conference, all the pressure on conferences a few years ago, budgets were cut, and it also cut into training budgets because what was happening at some – not all conferences were bad, okay? And the good ones were out there and people were being trained. But then when everybody had to start cutting their travel budgets, cutting their conference budgets, cutting their training budgets, you are creating a risk there that in 3, 5, 10 years, your people may not be trained well enough, and suddenly you have something on Barry's GAO high risk list because you've taken the eye off the ball because people weren't given the tools to do their job. So as the government works through these different issues that are coming up, they need to be aware of the risk in the fix, as I call it. Make sure that as you're solving problem A, you're not actually creating something where the IG or the GAO will come back 18 months, 24 months from now and say, well, you solved A, but you created problems B, C, and D.
You're listening to a Federal News Radio discussion on risk management. Our guests today are Danny Werfel, Director of Public Sector Practice at the Boston Consulting Group and former Acting Commissioner of the IRS. Barry Davis is Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the GAO. And Todd Graham is a Director at Deloitte, former Chief of Staff of the IRS and former Chief Financial Officer and Chief Performance Officer at VA. We're going to take a short break. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp. FederalNewsRadio.com.
9:39, you're listening to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp on FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM. We are having a special panel discussion this hour on risk management and how federal agency managers can get their arms around it. Our guests are Danny Werfel, Director of Public Sector Practice at Boston Consulting Group. He's the former Acting Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service. Barry Davis is Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the Government Accountability Office, and Todd Grams is a Director at Deloitte. Before that, he was former Chief of Staff at the IRS, former Chief Financial Officer, and Chief Performance Officer at the Veterans Affairs Department.
And Barry, why don't we start with you? Talk about some of the specific areas where risk management can be brought to bear. Where do you see most of the effort being needed?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because really risk communication is key to risk management. One of the areas that receives a lot of attention is the area of improper payments. Government-wide this past year, we had reported almost $106 billion in improper payments. And there were a number of programs that were very high as far as the percentage of program outlays being quantified or identified as improper payments. The school breakfast and school lunch programs are some examples. In fact, the school breakfast program was 25%, disaster assistance loans, the earned income tax credit program. Another area I think that is worthy of a great deal of attention regarding risk management is the area of grants. Last year, the federal government obligated over $550 billion in grants, and a lot of those went to, you know, a few of the major agencies, DOT, HHS, HUD, et cetera. Risk management there is important because in many cases that money is being dispersed to state, local governments, not-for-profits. It's going outside the federal government. Federal government contracting, I think, is another area I'd like to mention. The DOD, for example, is a very heavy user of government contractors. Those government contractors are paying the bills rather than the federal government paying those bills. Healthcare is another area, getting a handle on future projections of needs regarding healthcare and how our statements of social insurance, can be better represented. Right now, the revenues and expenditures for social insurance and Medicare, there are questions about that because we just don't know what's going to happen in the future.
And what would you say, are there common barriers or challenges, no matter if it's the school lunch program or managing grants? I mean, obviously, people who are working with money are concerned about risk. It's not like this is a foreign concept to them.
Do you think? To answer that question?
Yeah. Do you see common barriers when you're at GAO and you're looking at these?
Yes, absolutely, to some extent. Of course, lack of resources is always the common barrier. And sometimes it's not simply a lack of resources, but how those resources are applied. So, for example, if there's a fiscal situation where the government, Congress, cannot appropriate funds for a particular program, that program is going to suffer as a result, regardless of how good the risk managers are at that particular entity or organization. There's a limited knowledge, in some cases, about risk management and comprehensive risk management. And some people would argue that the private sector has more and better communications. I'm not going to take that position, but I think it's worthy of mentioning that increasing knowledge is certainly going to enhance the ability to effectively perform risk management. One of the things that some governments government agencies try to do is to compensate for this by developing coalitions with state and local governments or private and public partnerships that can help transfer or share some of the risks.
All right. I want to talk about the IRS. One thing we're learning, there's no shortage of areas to look at, that's for sure. But I want to talk about the IRS. Danny, one morning you woke up and you were suddenly the acting commissioner at a time of crisis for that agency. Todd, you and I guess you two worked there together. So give us that as a case in point of how risk management can or should work.
I think it's a good example to talk about. When I arrived at the IRS and I brought Todd along with me to be my chief of staff.
Thanks a lot, Danny, right?
We very quickly were able to diagnose very significant risk management deficiencies within the organization. And what do I mean by that? Well, Todd mentioned it earlier. First, if you go into the business units across the IRS, there wasn't either a culture or a process for those business units to push risks up to the leadership and say, here's where we're having a problem. Here's where the issues are emerging, whether it's there's a backlog that's emerged or something like that where the leadership should know about it. And it's a two-way street. We also saw that the IRS over the past several years, the commissioner's office and the leadership office were not reaching down into the organization proactively to pull the important risk information up. And why is that so important? Why is it really important that leaders are aware of emerging risks? There's so many reasons, but let me go over a few of them. One is that leaders are there to help solve problems. If they're leaders, chances are they're very smart and good at solving problems. That's how they got to be a leader. So you want that type of brain power in the room. But even more importantly, leaders can make decisions. They can change policies. They can move resources around. They can eliminate barriers to help business units and organizations manage their risk more effectively. And if they're not aware of the risk, then they can't take all those raw materials and all that authority and put it to bear towards solving problems. And third and most important, leaders need to know about the risk so that they can engage key stakeholders. Because in the public sector, the word public is important. It's a very public enterprise. And you want to bring more and more people into awareness of the challenges early on so that there are no surprises. And what we saw at the IRS was there were deficiencies at almost every level of their risk management approach. Again, business units were not empowered to push the information up. Leadership was not reaching into the organization to pull the risk information up, and therefore there wasn't actions being taken to mitigate those risks in a top-down way, and people, external stakeholders with vested interests in the IRS, weren't learning about these things in a timely way.
And Todd, of course, you got the call and came over as chief of staff, so maybe it was up to you to deal with the people that weren't pushing and pulling. So how'd that work?
Yeah, well, what we did was we actually set up the IRS's first chief risk officer. One of the things about risk management is if people aren't familiar enough with it, they don't realize it is a program and a discipline and a science all to itself. So you'd no more start an IT program without having a CIO and policies and procedures and systems in place to make sure that the program is working. And so that is what we did at the IRS. Danny brought in David Fisher as the IRS's first chief risk officer. David quickly formed a team around himself, put a plan of action in place. And when we were talking about barriers earlier, to just get a little bit more specific when it comes to risk management, one of the barriers that agencies are going to face if they want risk management is they're going to lack the expertise in risk management. I strongly urge them, reach outside. That's what we did at the VA. That's what we did at the IRS. You have to at first bring outsiders in who have that expertise, who can help you put the framework and program in place. And then as the training wheels come off, you take it over and you run it within the agency itself.
And I guess one of the lessons there from IRS is that the areas that people had looked at for decades, which was the IT, sometimes maybe that would pull the people's eyes off the other balls that they had to worry about too.
Well, it's an extremely complex organization. You know, one of the things that I tried to do in my 7 months there was understand where things were working effectively and make sure that people are aware that there are a variety of different operations within the IRS that have worked effectively, because you can build on those successes and you can start spreading those good practices just within the IRS. And I think that's important. You know, I think going back to our earlier point about GSA, you know, these things, they're complicated. There's good and bad in all of them. I mentioned that I thought that one of the positives coming out of the GSA situation was a greater awareness across government about waste, about internal controls and risk management. Todd pointed out, I think very aptly, that as a result, we have been underinvesting in training, and we need to recalibrate to get back to training. Well, similarly in the IRS, there was an opportunity to go in there and see and explain across the organization, here's where things are working very effectively and we need to be communicating, and here's where we have deficiencies and we need to be, you know, aware of those deficiencies and dedicate ourselves to be on top of them. And that was a message that Todd and I attempted to bring to the IRS in order to put them on the right path.
You're listening to a Federal News Radio discussion on risk management. We just heard from Danny Werfel, Director of Public Sector Practice at the Boston Consulting Group and former Acting Commissioner of the IRS. Also, Todd Grams, a director at Deloitte, former chief of staff at the IRS, too, and Barry Davis, director of financial management assurance at the GAO. It's 9:49. We'll take a short break. You're listening to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
9:53. Welcome back to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp here on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp. Our topic today is risk management and how federal agency managers can get their arms around it. Our guests are Danny Werfel, Director of Public Sector Practice at the Boston Consulting Group and former Acting Commissioner of the IRS, Barry Davis, Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the GAO, and Todd Grams, a Director at Deloitte and a former Chief of Staff at the IRS, former Chief Performance Officer at Veterans Affairs Department.
Yeah, and the Veterans Affairs Department, perhaps that's the part of government reeling most from problems throughout right now. Todd, you work there. Do you see any early lessons learned from what's happened at the VA over the past month in terms of risk management?
Thanks, Emily. I would say there are certainly lessons learned in what has developed at the Department of Veterans Affairs, but I would say in general, some advice for all federal agencies would be that it's common practice when you're going to implement an initiative or go for a stretch goal. In the case of VA, see patients within 14 days. When you set up that stretch goal, it's common for a program and leadership to look at what are the risks that exist that could impede our progress or keep us from reaching that goal. I think that's a common practice. I think what we can learn from this and what we can consider in the context of a robust risk management framework is to not only be looking for the risks that may impede, retard, or keep you from reaching your goal, but when you're setting a stretch goal and you're applying a lot of pressure from the top to hit that stretch goal, what are the risks, what are the secondary risks that you could actually be creating by setting that goal and setting it as a stretch goal and putting pressure on the organization to hit it? So going into it more eyes wide open, not only what might help you from achieving the goal, but what secondary risks are you creating when you put pressure on the organization to try to hit a stretch goal? Identify those risks, be aware of them, mitigate them, head them off at the pass should be the objective.
Yeah, I completely agree with Todd. I think this is a great example of how important risk management can be to success in government. I mean, we all want our government agencies to set bold goals, to drive agency performance towards meeting those goals, to hold our leaders and our managers accountable for meeting those goals. That all is good management 101 ingredients, and in many cases has led to many successes in government. But at the same time, when you set those goals and when you drive hard to reach them, you can create risk. And it comes back to making sure that you're looking at the foundation of the agency, its internal controls, its personnel processes, the various risks that might emerge around program integrity. Really important not to take your eye off the ball of that. Make sure that you're creating a culture in which people and employees are empowered to surface this, that you have a productive relationship with your inspector general and with GAO. So they're helping kind of watch that foundation for cracks and making sure that if there are cracks emerging, that we're tackling it. And to me, those are two of the right ingredients towards government reform and improvement. Set tough goals, drive your agency and hold people accountable to meet them, but also monitor the foundation of your agency to make sure that program integrity is in place.
And Barry, any final advice for agencies that want to get good reports from GAO and get off that high-risk list?
Yes, I think what has been said here today is very important, because risk management, in order to ensure the success of any organization, the leaders of that organization as well as the stakeholders of that organization need to be working to achieve that goal. It's critical to the success. It's embedded in management's responsibilities, and it's very critical. Simply say that I think we have very good examples of things that are going on right now at the federal government sector. I will just mention one thing, and that is the OMB producing a list of cross-agency priority goals each year that link into performance improvement. So I think we're on the right track, and more needs to be done, but I think we should be very proud of what we've accomplished thus far.
And Danny Werfel, in the last 10 seconds, tell us, are you glad you did the whole IRS thing?
Absolutely, because I came to government to serve and to try to help solve problems. And there was a thought that I could be helpful, and we absolutely did our best.